Good morning. It is good to see you this morning. Good to have each one of you in the house, Lord, this morning. We pray that you'll be encouraged by your time here and that the holiday season will be one in which you'll feel blessed and be able to spend time with the people you love. And so many of us have got to start that already this year. You know, Jesus was a carpenter. That was part of his identity with his community. Mark chapter 6, verse 3, they make reference to him as the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And so that was part of his identity with his community. For the first 30 years of his life, he grew up in a household, had a mom, dad, brothers, and sisters. He took on the trade of his earthly father, a carpenter. We know that Joseph was a carpenter as well. So Jesus had this identity. That's what he knew. That's what he worked with. His hands in wood, if you will. And so that's what he was. So let me ask you this. You know, you see the world and the world that Jesus created. What kind of craftsman do you think he was? If he made something, you think it was of good quality? Do you think that it was like, you know, wow, this is exceptional, you know? And so he was noted as a carpenter, you know, but don't you think that he put craftsmanship into his work? You know, this is, can you imagine hand mortising joinery and putting legs on a table or maybe a stool or something like that? And the detail and his ability to work with his material in which he sort of what created, can you imagine what that would have looked like? And how valuable would that would be today? Can you sort of think of the work that he did as good work, right? Wouldn't you think so? If, just use your imagination, if a piece of furniture, perhaps a table or stool, could be authenticated today and proven that it is handmade by Jesus Christ, what would it be worth? I mean, can you imagine it? We went to some friend's house last night, and they just built a house, and they had the mantelpiece was a log that had been hewn from an old barn down in the 8th district of Putnam County, you know, and they said it had been there, and they had someone from Tech look at it. They estimate the building to have been built in the early 1800s. And it was just a beautiful piece of wood is stuck on the fireplace for a mantelpiece. Then I thought, I said, I wonder, because my mother's father grew up in the 8th district of Putnam County, and I wondered if he'd ever been in that barn. And that just made that piece of wood all the mess. I had to go touch it after that. I thought, well, you know, maybe his hand had touched that, or he was in that barn or something like that, because there couldn't have been many buildings out there in that community back then and stuff, and when he was a young boy. But can you imagine its worth? I mean, if you could authenticate it and say that this was a piece of handcrafted furniture made by Jesus himself. And there are pieces of furniture that are over 2,000 years ago. We know that. Can you imagine its worth? Jesus as a master craftsman. But I'd like for you to, this morning, sort of let your mind go someplace else that consider that Jesus is still working as a craftsman today. But his material of choice is not wood. It's you. That Jesus is still crafting in this world today. But his material of choice is not wood anymore. It's you. That he's still actively engaged and involved in creating. We know the very first attribute of God is in the beginning, he created. And then we know earlier, a little bit later on, that he said, let us make man our image. John chapter 1 verse, in the first few verses of John chapter 1, he says, he was the Word and all things were made by him that exists in this world. So Jesus is still creating today. And so take a moment to look around you. Maybe the person sitting next to you. In the place where you sit this morning, everyone in this room that professes that Jesus is their Savior is a project of God. You're one of His projects. And this is His workshop. If you've ever visited a carpenter or a craftsman's workshop, when they're working in it, really working in it, it's a mess. There's projects here and projects there. You know, it's not all neat and orderly. You know, and sometimes you can see maybe where something's headed, but not quite there yet. And sometimes you look and go, what is this going to be? But see, Jesus is still doing it. Maybe it was very appropriate that God chose to send His Son into the world as a professional identity of someone who's creating and making. But it's not wood today. It's flesh and blood. So the person you're in fellowship with this morning, the person you're spending this hour with this morning is one of God's projects. And if they're not quite as polished or refined or finished yet, that's the process. And maybe you're sitting here this morning saying, well, I'm not quite where I want to be. That's the process. One of the phrases my students in the counseling program very often attribute to me, and I say, well, it didn't start with me, but I'll appreciate you can remember it. But I tell them, just trust the process. Just trust the process of counseling. You help people, just trust the process. And so this morning I'm saying, as a Christian, we need to trust the process. We need to believe that Jesus is still a master craftsman and He's up to something. And we have to trust the process. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared before Him that we should walk in them." That's what Paul says. We are His workmanship. After a while, a good craftsman usually recognizes their work. Oh, I know who did that. That looks like their work. And it's amazing how sometimes the product the craftsman produces reflects something about them. And so it is with us this morning. So I guess when I have to save a file or you know, PowerPoint or whatever, I have to come up with a title for it, and I try to make it something that will fit. So as I was conceptualizing this lesson based upon our memory verse that we read this morning together, I thought about the concept of Christian craftsmanship. If we really embrace the idea that God is up to something and material He's wishing to work with in this world through His Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, is you and me, we are evidence of His craftsmanship. And take this stool here. The ideal of this stool was in someone's imagination, someone's ideal before it was ever created. But it has multiple pieces and multiple processes. Coy and Ray and some of the other woodworkers can tell you that this was done on a lathe. They took a square stick of wood, put it on the lathe, and turned it. And they had to turn four legs, and they had to turn the rungs in it. And I'm almost suspecting that maybe that top was even turned. But there was a part in this that it would look like a tree. And there's a part in this that looked like dimensional wood. But someone had an idea in their head as to what image it would wind up as, and their craftsmanship produced it. Jesus is a master craftsman. And His ideal for who you are is based upon His ideal of who you are. And He's working with material, and He's working through people's lives in a very specific way. But you're always a work in process. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." that we're always a work in process. We spent some time this morning talking about Philippians chapter 4 and how Paul sort of gives this key to change our dispositional outlook in life. If you're a person who's overly worried, Paul says, I've got a cure for that. Don't worry. Give everything to God in prayer. And if that's not enough, you begin to focus in on the good things in life, the lovely things, the things you can report, the virtuous things. And if that's not enough, let me tell you this other secret. You can do anything through Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a process. You do not have to stay where you are. In fact, God loves you enough not to let you stay where you are. He's in this process. We're at this time of the year that people begin thinking about the New Year's. And a few years ago, Tyler came and preached for us a little bit around the New Year and talked a lot about resolutions. I asked someone the other day, I said, what's your New Year's resolution? They said, I made the resolution last year not making more resolutions. And he said, so far I've been really good at keeping that. But where are you today and where would you like to be a year from now? If the Lord doesn't return, or 5 years from now, where do you want to be spiritually? Where do you want to be in your relationships? Where do you want to be as you lay your head down at night? Do you want to feel like me and God are in the good place? I'm really being crafted into something in the image of Jesus. And so we're always works in process. And then we also need to understand that we are being made by the master craftsman. It's amazing sometimes to see what someone can do with just raw material. Now, in my hands, it looks like raw material. A little bit wonky, you know, a little off kilter. You know, I know there's a square, but I can't figure out how to make things square. You know the old thing, measure twice and cut once. Okay, I measure twice, cut once, and have to get another piece of wood because I cut too short. Anyone ever have that experience? Some of you like me. Some of you relate to me. Okay, but in the hands of someone who knows what they're doing, they can take the raw material and produce to something that is worthy and good. And so we have to understand that God is up to something. Philippians chapter 2, he says that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Imagine something that someone's made that you think it's too nice to use. You ever seen anything like that? And this is something that belongs in a museum. This is just something that is heirloom quality. You know, and I can't help but think, and those of you ever got to see some of Sister Mary Frances' quilts. It's like, I mean, and Sarah knows. And it's like, you know, these are labors and hours of love. But and I mean, it's like, you know, we don't want to use it, but what would she say? I made it to be used. You see, God wants you to interact with the world. Church is not a museum to put a bunch of holy relics in. God calls us to go into the world to be light and to be salt and to change the world, to leave it better than we found it. That reflects a true craftsman. God wants us to be used. He wants us to be worn. He wants us to reflect what's happening in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of His Son. David in the Psalms 117 says that He has declared to His people the power of His works and given them heritage of the nations. The works of His hands are verity. That's simply another word for truth. Verity and justice. And His precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and are done in truth and uprightness. David sees God as working in this world with His own hands. Produce a people who are uniquely different. One of the New Testament writers said that God made us a peculiar people, zealous for good works. A different people. And how we manifest that we are in the hands of Master Christ is that we interact with the world through our daily lives. Whether it's a student in school interacting with other students or interacting with teachers, or you're going to your job, you're interacting with customers or other employees or whatever you're doing, that somehow you're demonstrating God to this world, His craftsmanship. So the whole world may not glorify you, but glorify the craftsman. That God is up to something in doing this. So when we go on to consider that the craftsman selects the raw material, transforms the project, it has to be transformed to reflect the skill of the craftsman. It has to be transformed. You cannot stay where you're at, that God's up to something. And we're all raw material in His hands, and He's constantly refining and reworking. And sometimes it's by your studying God's Word. Sometimes it's by your prayer life. Sometimes it's about the people you meet, the people you interact with. Sometimes it's about the mercy you show other people. Sometimes it's about the forgiveness you're showing others. Sometimes it's about learning to control your anger and your tongue. Sometimes it's learning just to have an open, benevolent heart. Sometimes it's learning to have compassion on the people who are less fortunate. Sometimes it's just learning to just be cheerful, even, and sometimes on a gloomy, rainy day, you're still finding sunshine in your soul. It's not one thing, it's many things. But God is up to something. And Jesus, the master craftsman, He knows what He's doing, and He knows where He's heading. Philippians chapter 3, again, Paul 20-21, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that we may conform to His glorious body, according to the working by which He was able to subdue all things to Himself." Jesus is constantly transforming. There was a religion that developed in the United States prior to the Civil War, and it was a different religion. And some of the tenets of it are pretty strange, by our understanding. But they believed that everything you did reflected God. So whatever you did, you should do it well, but not attempt to be perfected in a special way, to always show some evidence of your humanity in it. So sometimes they might leave something just a little off or whatever, but it was a process. And they were known as the Shakers, because they had these sort of interesting worship services, and they sort of spun around and things, and they would convulse and shake in these services. But yet they believed in this idol of craftsmanship, that everything you did, whether you're making a broom or a chair or a quilt or whatever you did, reflected something about who God was in your life, and that everything you did, you should do well. And I've always been impressed with the simplicity of their form and function in furniture. I like Shaker style furniture. Their pieces today are very valuable. You can find a piece of original Shaker furniture, you're going to pay a lot. Barbara Shaker, you're going to pay a lot of money. Authenticated Shaker furniture. Okay. It's beautiful. Simple in form, but beautiful. But then I read the process by how they finished it, because you see these pieces are sometimes 200 years old that look brand new almost. Okay. And they use linseed oil. It was heated up. It's flammable, so you have to be careful. And they would put, for 7 days, they put finish on it for 7 days. Okay. Then, For a month, they would put finish on it every day. First month, every day for a month, and then every week for a month, and every month for a year. It would take them over a year to put the finish on it. It was always a process. Rubbing it in and working it in, rubbing it in. And finally, you get this thing that sort of endures, but because they were intentional in what they were doing. And God is just as intentional in your life. He's working in the hands through Jesus to create and form us into something that will be glorious to His glory and not to our own. So sometimes the material has to be willing, whether wood or stone or whatever the craftsman's working with, it has to be willing to be transformed. In fact, there's this really neat thing in Isaiah, and it also happens in Jeremiah, about using the potter as an example of what we are. And God's the potter, and we're the clay. And we even sing, "Have thine own way, Lord," sort of based upon these verses. But Isaiah 64, verse 8, "But now, O Lord, you are the Father, we are the clay, you are the potter, and all we are the work, and all we are the work of your hands." So God is in the process of it. We understand this. So, but we also need to understand that this was very costly material. This is not the cheap stuff. This is the costly material. We are God's material, but He paid dearly for it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "For since for you are bought with a price." What was that? The price of that was the death of Jesus. "Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." We're also living material. "You are also as living stones, you're being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We have to be willing, but we also have to understand that we were bought with a great price. We also have to be willing to understand that we're always in the process. We're living material, living stones, if you will. But we also have to be grateful material. Our memory verse today: "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men." I think what Paul is saying is that we need to reflect who the craftsman is in our life. That we need to emulate and be as Christ-like as possible. How we interact in this world, how we interact in our homes. That we need to constantly be pointing to people toward Jesus, because He is our craftsman. He is our maker. He is refining us. We are very blessed in our home in many ways, but we have pieces of furniture made by various members of the family, and we have things that Coy has made, and Ray has made, and Dylan has made, and I received a couple of things I've made, Tammy's grandpa's made. You know, and we go through our house, you know, so-and-so made this, and so-and-so made that, so-and-so made this. Wouldn't it be great if you walked through life and someone said, "Who made that person?" And you say, "What? Well, this is accomplished by the craftsmanship of Jesus Christ." You know, it's important somehow that every craftsman sort of identifies their work. Sometimes there's a craftsman's mark, or sometimes it's a signature. You know, Ray's got an old table that he bought, and is obviously one that a master craftsman was trying to teach a younger craftsman how to make it, because it's not quite the same on both sides. You know, and then Ray looked at the table and took it apart, and inside is a statement written in pencil. It was a statement, wasn't Ray says, "Keep the shop and the shop will keep you," I think is what's written inside in pencil. So someone was teaching someone how to do this. But the reality is that it bears the maker's mark. So there should be something in our lives individually, collectively, as a body of Christ, that people say, "You know, you're different. You shine as a star. My life is made better because of my friendship or my association, my acquaintance that you work with me. My life is made better because of you." And it simply reflects on who we are. So whatever we find to do in this life, we do it because of who's making our life and who's a craftsman in our life. And not for anyone else's praise, but simply to know that I am the wood in the hands of the master, the clay in the hands of the master, the stone in the hands of the master, the steel in the hands of the master. Whatever it is that God is up to in this life is working through me to His benefit and His glory. Hope that will be something you can carry with you this week. We're going to give a space and time for response. If you have a need this morning and we can assist you, Steve has chosen a song to lead at this time, and we'll give you space at this time to do that.